We're holding the top of Samach Ches Amud Aleph. We left off where we said in the Mishnah that with a Naira Maurasa, and we said it's not only a Naira, the same thing would apply to a Ketana once she's above the age of, once she's at the age of what's called Onas Nedarim, the time of her life, when beginning from 11 years old for a girl, when if she makes a neder, it can be valid as long as she knows what a neder is. So at that point, if she's Maurasa, if she from then throughout the rest of the time that she's a Ketana and the first 6 months of her being a Gdola, namely when she becomes a Naira until she becomes a Begeres, then if she's an Arusa, then we said her father and her husband jointly have to be made for her Nedarim. It can't be one without the other. As we went through the Mishnah and we discussed in the Gemara where we know that from. So we ended up saying that we're learning it from the fact that you have three sections in the Torah there. One talking about a girl who's not yet Arusa. The third one talking about a girl who is already Nesua. The second one, and we have the second one in between, which even though it says Vim Hoyoy Siyala Ish, and we said that refers to when she's in Arusa, and because it begins with a Vav, is why we have it tied to the previous one. So it means the father as well. And we went through how we know that it's Davka has to mean each one with the other one, how it can't be one of them by himself and the other one only with the other one. We went through all of that. So now, top of Samach Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara continues, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a different way of learning this. How we know that a Naira Amayrasa, you need both her father and her husband to be made for the Nedarim. The Pasuk says at the end of that whole section, after it goes through all the various scenarios, it summarizes, it says, Eila HaChukim, the Gemara is not quoting the whole Pasuk, of course, but Eila HaChukim, these are the laws, Zashitziva Hashem as Moshe, Bein Ish LeIshtoi, here is the part where the Gemara quotes, Bein Ish LeIshtoi, between a man and his wife, Bein Ov Levitoi, between a father and his daughter. So the pasuk finishes off in her neurim, in her time of nairus, when she's in her father's house. So we learn from that, since it says bein ish leishtei and bein av levitoi, so therefore we have to understand that it means that when she's binoreha beis aviha, when she's in her youth in her father's house, which is exactly what a naira maros is, then you need both, since the Pasuk now mentions, again, the father as well as the husband, then it means that both of them have to be involved in being made for her Nedarim. So that's a Tanud Veda Bishmol, learns it from that, instead of learning it from Vim Hoye Sila Ish, like we said before. Well, the question is, well, Tanud Veda Bishmol, Im Hoye Sila Ish, my Ovidlei? Well, then what does Tanud Veda Bishmol do with the Pasuk Im Hoye Sia? Tosfos explains that the Gemara is not really asking why we need the Pasuk at all. The fact is that the Pasuk Vim Hoyosia teaches us something that we talked about yesterday, and we're going to talk about again now, that when it comes to an Arusa, her husband is able, unlike we said yesterday, that with an Asua, her husband cannot cancel Nedarim that are koidmin that existed before he married her, whereas with an arusa he can even deal with Nedarim that she made before she was ever mekudesh to him. So yeah, we're learning that from that pasuk. Even Tanud Veda Bishmol agrees to that. The question is, according to Tanud Veda Bishmol, why do we need the vav? Why do we need the vim hoyosia leish? Where we said before, we're learning from that we take the father from the first section and apply it to the arusa of the second section and say that therefore it means her husband and her father together need to do it. Samach Ches Amud Aleph. So according to Tanud Veda Bishmol, why do we need that vav and why do we not need that smichos if we're learning it from bein ish leishtei bein av levita? So the answer is mukim leidoch de rova. The answer is Tanud Veda Bishmol would use the pasuk Vim Hoyosia to teach us a different drasha that Rava says, or the Ranz Gir says Rava. Namely, we're going to learn later on Daf Ayin. You have a scenario as follows. We said that an Orus is able together with the father to be Mefer Nedarim that took place before he ever was Ma'arasur. Now let's picture a scenario as follows. The girl was the girl was Makodesh to the girl was Makodesh to Reuven. And that then after she's Makodesh to Reuven, she makes a neder. So now we said that her father, together with her chosen Reuven, can cancel her neder. Now, what happens if that same day Reuven dies and then she's miskadesh to another man, to Shimon? So the din is the same way as Reuven would have been able to cancel a neder that existed before his erusin, so can Shimon. So even though, and the same thing would apply also, if Shimon dies and she is miskadesh to Levi, as long as it's all on the same day, we're going to discuss this later on, then always the last chosen, the current chosen, together with the father, can be made for all of her nedarim, even though they took place before he ever entered her life and was mekadesh her. So we learn that from so Rava or Rabba says later on Daf Ayin that we learn that concept from the from the pasuk Im Hoyo Siya LeIsh Undareha Aleha, namely since the pasuk says Im Hoyo Siya. That we said yesterday, you have the line in the pasukim hoyosia, if being she will be, which is in and of itself is a common kind of phraseology in the Torah, where it uses a double expression like that. But we darshin, it means no matter how many times that tia, however many times she's mekodesh, and even though in dareha aleha she had nedarim on her from beforehand, nevertheless, the current chosan, together with the husband, together with the father, are able to be made for her nedarim. So we learn that from Vim Hoyesi Ish. So therefore, according to Tanad Veda Vishmal, that is what we're learning from that pasuk. And then from the pasuk, Ben Ish Le Ishta, Ben Ov Le Vitoi, we're learning the basic concept that you need the oros, that you need the chosan together with the father to be in order to be made for her nedarim. Now, the question would be, the question would be then, according to the Chachamim, who we said before, learn the concept of the father and the chosen together from the Mahoyesi of the Ish. So how are they learning the other din? How are they learning Rava's din as well? The answer is that the Ran says, they would say you could learn both of them. Primarily, the Pasuk is teaching us the concept of a Naira Mairasa, that the basic idea that her father and her husband need to jointly be made for her Nedarim. But the fact that it says Vim Hoyosia is meant to compare that the same way as that happens with the first Chosen, the same way it would happen with the second and the third and so forth. And then the Ran goes on to add that on the other hand, where does Tana Dreid Rabbi Shmuel learn the concept of Mei for Bekoidmin? He says you don't really need a pasuk for it. The reason why we said yesterday that the husband is not able to be Mei for Bekoidmin, he's not able to cancel Nedarim that took place before he married her, is because he's doing it all by himself. But we said that the chosen, the Oros, has to do it together with the father. So therefore, the same way as the father has the ability to be made for Bekoidmin, so does the chosen. So therefore, according to Tana Dreid Rabbi Shmuel, therefore, you don't need a pasuk to teach us that concept. And therefore, we can learn from that all we need is to teach us that the current chosen, if there was more than one chosen on the same day because the previous ones died, we need a pasuk to tell us that he has the same rule as his predecessors, and for that you have Vim Hoyosi Elish. Okay, so the question is, so that's that then. So in other words, according to the Chachamim, what we're doing is we're saying we learn two different dinim from the words Vim Hoyosi Elish and Dareha Allah. Number one, we're learning the basic fact that with a Naira Mairasa, you need her father plus her chosen together in order to annul her Nedarim. Number two, you're learning that that applies even if this is not her first chosen, so what happens is after her first chosen dies, she returns to the shus of her father because she's still a Katana or a Naira. So then on that same day, somebody else is Makadish her, then the same thing happens with him. He and her father together can be made for any of her nedarim, and so on and so forth. And from there, we also learn that the Orus is able to be made for Bekoidmin, that he's able to be made for even nedarim that existed even before he was Makadisher, because of the words on Dodeha Allah and the words of Hayesia make it that applies to all chasanim, to every chosin one after the other that she has. So therefore, according to that, you don't need the words ben ishleish le ben avlevitai, and the Gemara is going to ask in a second, so what are we, according to them, what are we learning from that? Meanwhile, according to Tanit Veda Bishmal, we're saying they hold that you can't learn both things from him. So they're learning from there only the fact that the second chosin and the third chosin and so forth are like the first one in this. The basic fact that that with a naira meirasa you need her father and her chosin, they're learning from ben ov ben ishle ishle ben ovlevitai. And the fact that a chosin can be made for bekoidmin, they don't need a pasuk for it, says the Ran, because they say that logically it must be so, given that he's not doing it by himself, he's doing it with the father, and the father has the right to cancel koidmin. Okay, so the question is, v'rova, hai d'tonet v'ed abishmal mai avodai. Well, according to Rava, or Rabba, what is he doing with the pasuk ben ishle ishte ben ovlevitai, that tonet v'ed abishmal brought? The answer is Mibori Loima, Shabal Mefin Adorim Shabena Levena. He uses it to teach us the concept that the husband cannot just be made for any Nadorim of his wife's. Namely, you have like this. The Psukim mentioned clearly at one point in the Psukim over there, it mentioned Nadorim wa anois nafesh, Nadorim to afflict herself. So we learn from that that the father and the husband are able to cancel nedarim that involve affliction for her. So she makes a neder, for example, to fast or to deprive herself of some kind of food or some kind of cosmetic or whatever. Those would be considered nidre inui nefesh, and her father or her husband have the ability to cancel those. Now, what about, though, you have a different kind of neder, which we're going to discuss a lot in the next perek, called dvorim shebeine levena, things between him and her. In other words, things that affect their marital relationship. So among other things, it could be, for example, she makes a neder that she won't do housework for him. So that's not inui nefesh, obviously. She's not depriving herself of any, she's not depriving herself of any pleasure with that kind of neder. But it is dvorim shebeina levena. It's things that affect his relationship with her. So therefore, so now we wouldn't have known without these words, ben ishle ishte ben ovlevitoi, we wouldn't have known that applies as well. Therefore, comes that pasuk, says Rava, and teaches us that concept that that not only the husband is able to cancel the dvarim of inui nefesh, but also he's able to cancel dvarim shebeina levena. Which the difference is, we're going to learn later on. We touched on it back in Ksubas, and I think earlier in our Masechta as well. The difference being that with Nidre Inui Nefesh, when he vetoes the neder, when he cancels it, it's completely gone. Whereas when it comes to Dvarim Shebeina Levena, all he's able to cancel is the part that affects him, but not the part that affects anybody else. We're going to have an example of it at the end of our Masechta, where the woman, let's say, makes a neder that Hana of Tashmish is also to me, so he's able to veto his chelek, because, in other words, so she's still able to have relations with him because they're married, that's Dvarim Shebeina Levena, but if he ever dies or divorces her, then she wouldn't be able to remarry because of that neder, because that neder is in effect, and that neder, to that extent, she made the neder that she's also to have Tashmish with anyone. So therefore, that would be an effect for other people. Anyway, we're going to discuss that point later on. But the point is that Rava says, since the pasuk says bein ish le ishtoi, between a man and his wife, then therefore we learn from that that any nedarim that affect the relationship between the husband and the wife are things that the husband is able to cancel. So we're learning that from that pasuk, and we're also learning from that now. So does that apply also to the father and the husband? So the Ran explains actually like this. Most of the Rishonim learn that means the same restrictions on what kind of nedarim the husband can cancel also apply to the father and the daughter. So the same way as the husband can only cancel nedarim that are inui nefesh or dvarim shebeina levena, the same thing, says the Ran, and most Rishonim agree, would apply also to the father and the daughter. It can't be made for any kind of neder, only ones that are in one of those two categories. On the other hand, the Rambam disagrees with that. The Rambam says that no, that heck, and the Ran brings in this connection from the Sifri that says exactly that. Our Gemara is just mentioning the pasuk and saying that we learn that the husband can be made for nedarim shebeina levena, But the Sifri spells out that the same thing is true as far as the father. As far as the father. Now, the Rambam disagrees with that. So, of course, everybody asks on the Rambam, where does he get that from? That there should be that difference. After all, the Sifri says differently. So actually, the Chachmei Lunel, the Chachamim of Lunel in the south of France, in those days, Provincia, the south of Provence, the south of France, had a big Jewish community, and there were many great Chachamim over there. The Ravid came from there, the Baal Amor came from there, the Meiri came from there, etc. Anyway, so the Chachamim of Lunel, and the city of Lunel, and particularly, had a lively correspondence with the Rambam. They used to write to him all the time. Anytime they didn't understand something that he had written, they would write to him to clarify, and he would write back to them very respectfully. So one time they asked him, "What about this din over here? How are you saying that the father can cancel any nedarim of his daughters when the Sifri clearly says differently?" So the Rambam says, you know, it's a good point, and I thought about it for a long time. He says, I finally decided like this. Throughout Shas, both Bavli and Yerushalmi, whenever it talks about this concept of the restriction of what kind of nedarim you can be made for, it only ever mentions the husband. It never mentions the father. So the Rambam says, on that basis, and the fact that the Gemara never brings explicitly this drosha of this, the Gemara never brings either in the Bavli or the Yerushalmi this hekesh that the Sifri is saying. So I figured, says the Rambam, that Sifri is only according to Reb Shimon. Why? Because the same way as we have Stam Mishnah Reb Meir, the same way we say Stam, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Stam Sifri Reb Shimon. When you have an unattributed statement in the Sifri, then it comes from the Tanna Reb Shimon. So the Rambam says, I figured then that is only a das yachid. If it were the case that the other Chachamim agree to it, you would find at least one place in the Bavli or the Yerushalmi where it would bring this hekesh, or where it would bring something about the father being able to cancel only nedarim that are inui nefesh or beinu levena. Since it doesn't, says the Rambam, then I concluded that the Gemara disagrees with the Sifri on that, and therefore I paskin accordingly. Nevertheless, the fact is the other Rishonim all disagree with the Rambam on that. So according to them, the same restrictions as there are on the husband also exist on the father. According to the Rambam, then not. Anyway, the point is, Rava would learn that concept from the words ben ish l'ishte ben av levita. That the fact that the husband is able to cancel dvarim shebeina levena, we learn from that pasuk, which Tanad Veda Bishmo, we said, is using that pasuk to teach us about a naira mayrasa. So fine. So we have two different ways, in short, of learning the concept that Naira Mayrasa Avio Baila Mefirin Nereha, that it requires that both the father and the husband jointly be made for it. According to everybody else, except for Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we're learning it from the words Vim Hoyo Siyah Ish. And according to Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we're learning it from Ben Ish Leish to Ben Avlevita. Now the Gemara begins a new discussion. Iboilahu. So we have a question as follows. We said that the father and the husband together, the father and the chosin together, have to veto her nedarim. But Iboilahu, the question was, suppose that the husband has been mefer and the father has not yet. Ba'al megas gayiz a miklash kolish. Do we say that the husband has, with his hafara, has cut off part of the neder? Or do we say that he's weakened the neder? In other words, now, later on, we're going to deal with a different matter. When we get later on in the Masechta, we're going to deal with the more general fact when a husband is made for his wife's nedarim, and we're talking about when they're fully married and he has exclusive rights over her nedarim. We're going to talk about that he cuts off the neder where it's not valid from now on, but it was still effective in the past. But now we're talking about something else. Now, when you have the chosen and the father together have to be made for the nedarim, when the chosen has done that, but the father has not yet, what is the status? Not at the same time. We talked about yesterday, actually you weren't here, but we talked about that it means it just has to be that it was both on the same day. It was both on the same day, and there cannot have been a hakama in between. There cannot have been that in between one of them validated the neder. So if one of them hears about it in the morning and is mefer, and the other one hears in the afternoon and is mefer, then that's fine. So now the question is, once the husband has done his part of the hafara, and we're waiting now on the father to do his part, what is the status of this neder? Megas gayas would mean that he cut off. In other words, now we say the neder in effect is is half the nether is gone completely, and now the other half is still in its full original strength and waiting on the father to cancel it. Oy miklash kolish, or do we say that the chosen has weakened the entire nether? So in other words, we would say that the nether still exists in full, but now it has a weaker status than it did before. So what's the scenario that we would ask about? What's the scenario where that would make a difference? Suppose that she made a nether from two olives, and we don't just mean that she made a kazayas, we don't just mean that she made a nether that I won't eat two kazayasim. Let's say, for example, that she actually said, the Ran says, that it was two particular olives. So she has two particular olives in front of him, and she says, those two olives are also to me with a nether. Vishama Oros Vehefala, now the Oros heard this nether and vetoed it. Va'achotonon, and then she ate the two, and then she ate the two zaysim. So now, if we say that the result of her orus canceling the nether means that the nether is half canceled, but the other half still exists, then it means therefore, Lakia, she's still going to get Malkus. Because you have a full you still have a full kezias, which is Osir, because you would say, in effect. So like this, the nether was on two zaysim, half the nether was canceled, but now the nether is still on one kazais. Well then, therefore, so now, granted, if she only eats one zayis, we wouldn't know, says the Ran, which one is the one that's also and which one is the one that's mutter. So you can't give her malchus for that. But if she ate both of them, no question about it, she ate one which is also. So therefore, she would be getting malchus. But if you say that the result of the chosen, vetoing his part of the nether is that now the whole thing becomes weakened, is surah ba'almahu, then in effect he's downgraded the entire nether from being something that would be chayiv malchus to something that would be only an istur. So she'd be over on a lab, but she wouldn't be getting malchus for it. So now the Ran comments on this. He says that don't we have a concept that when it comes to a nedu, you don't even need a kezias. It's enough even that you just ate it. Why do you even need to mention a case where there were two kezasim? So the Ran mentions a couple of possibilities. First of all, because not everybody agrees to that, he brings from a Gemara in Shavuos that says that that's true, that kol shehu b'koinam is loika, a person made something also to him with a koinam, then he'll be getting malchus even if what he ate is less than a kezias. But nevertheless, not everybody agrees to that. So the Gemara wants to describe the scenario over here in a way that everybody would agree. Another possibility that Ran says is because the fact is that maybe that applies to a nedir. It wouldn't apply to a shivua. A shivua, the fact is you don't get malchus unless there's a shir. And a third possibility, he says, is that maybe the word lakya over here, the word loika over here, the word that she gets malchus, doesn't mean actually to get malchus. It means that she would be chayev a korban, meaning if it was a matter of me'ila. So if she had declared these two, if she had declared with a nether that these two olives are hektish, and then now she ate one of them, so she is she over on me'ila? To be over on me'ila, certainly yes, you do need a shear. I was using the word lakia. He says you find sometimes that the word loika can mean to be penalized financially rather than getting malchus. So three possibilities of what the Gemara means over here. Anyway. So that's the question. Again, if we say that the chosen cuts away half the nether, then you still have the other half is still in full force. Therefore, she's getting malchus because she was over on that part of it. She ate a kazayas. If you say, though, that he weakened the entire nether, so now, therefore, it's not strong enough to be chayav malchus anymore. So what's the din about that? So the Gemara says, Toshma, we're going to prove from a braisa. This is going to be a lengthy braisa, which is going to go through all the possible scenario, not all, but many of the possible scenarios in terms of a woman's neder and her oros and her father vetoing it, and when it works and when it doesn't. And then, so we're going to, it's, that braisa is going to take us through, I mean, Samach Tes Amud Beis, as you can see, is fairly short, but it's going to take us through the entire Amud Beis onto Ayin Amud Aleph, and then we're going to end up saying that there's one particular case in it which is relevant to what we're saying over here, which is actually a Machloikas Tanoi. So therefore, so the answer is going to end up being that this Megas Gaiz or Miklash Kolish is going to end up being a Machloikas Tanoi. But we're going to go through the whole Braisa first, because it's going to tell us many, many scenarios about what happens involving a Naira Mairosa's Nadarim in terms of who can veto them. So one thing we need to understand before we get into this braisa is, we said before that with a Naira Marosa, her husband and her chosen and her father jointly need to be made for her nedarim. But now we're going to discuss in this braisa that, so it has to be the same, well, right, it has to, well, the, what it is really the vetoing of the neder has to be done on the same day. However, there is actually a machlokas rishonim within that, which we'll get to later on in the perek. Bichlal, we're going to talk about later on in the perek that this, that we say that the hafara has to be done on the same day, really it's not actually the same day she made the neder, it's actually the same day that he heard about it. So forget about a Naira Mairosa for a second. Let's say a case where you only need one person to be made for the neder. So she's unmarried and living at home, where only her father alone is made for her nedarim. Or she's fully married and living with her husband, where then only her husband is made for her nedarim. The din would be, let's say she makes the neder and her father or her husband hears about it only several days later, then we would say on the day that he hears about it is the day when the clock starts ticking, and he has until shkia of that day to veto the neder, to be made for the neder.
That's the time to join.
No, not even jointly. I'm saying, forget about jointly for a second. The basic time, when you're talking about when it's only one of them, when you're talking about when it's only the father, namely before Kiddushin, or only the husband after Nisuin, then the din is that they have in each case, all cases of Afara, they have only that day, only until Shkia. However, the day doesn't begin from when she actually made the neder, it begins from when he finds out about it. Now, so when it comes to a case of a neder that needs to be mufur jointly, where the father and the chosen together need to be made for it, there you have machlokas rishonim within that. Would it work if the father and the chosen heard about it on different days and therefore were made for on different days, or in that case, would it need to be that they both hear on the same day? So now it still would be true if, let's say, she made the neder and both of them hear about it only the next day, then fine, they can be made for it. But if one of them heard about it that day and the other one heard about it the next day, can they be made for the machlokas we're showing them about that? Anyway, so now in the braisa, then we're going to be discussing as follows. Now what happens? So you have this Naira Mairosa. So now we say her father and her chosen jointly have to be made for her nedarim. What happens if her chosen dies? So then we have a concept called nisroikna reshus la'av. We're going to discuss in the braisa that nisroikna literally means emptied out in Russian rake. The reshus is emptied out back to the father. In other words, we consider as though, so to speak, the chosen and the father each had a container that they need to jointly use in order to be, each one of them needs to use their container to be made for her nedarim. They need to mix, in effect, you could say they need to mix together the contents of the containers to be made for her nedarim. Now that the chosen dies and she's not back in her own reshus because she's still a ktana or naira, then we say that misroikna reshus la'av, the reshus of the chosen is emptied out and reverts to the father. So the father alone now has the ability to cancel her nedarim. So on the other hand, the reverse is not true. If the father dies while she's still an arusa, the chosen by himself does not have the ability to veto her nedarim. So that's one of the points that we're going to be discussing in this braisa. So that's one point that I figured we should mention in advance in order that we don't get confused. So the braisa goes as follows. Toshma, What is the scenario where we say that if the husband dies, then the reshus is emptied out and reverts to the father? That would be bizman shaloi shama baal kodim shiyomus. Within that, you have a few subcases. One would be where the husband bichlal did not hear of the neder before he died. Or another example could be, another case could be where he heard about the neder, but he was quiet. And then on the same day, and then he died on the same day. So here's where you have that. Here's where that machlokas rishonim that we mentioned before is relevant. Where according to the Rosh, it's fine that he can still do as long as the chassan was mefer, as long as the chassan was either, so whether the chassan was mefer before he died or not, either way, the father can even be mefer on another day when he first heard, he was about the neder, where the Rambam, it's not so simple. According to the Rambam, it may not be the case. Actually, the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam discuss what exactly the Rambam holds in that. Anyway, so if the husband had not heard before he died, or if he heard and was quiet, he didn't say one way or the other. He didn't say I uphold the neder. He didn't say I veto the neder. And the husband died on that day. Or third possibility is he heard and he was mefer. In any case, mes boibayoim, and he died on that day. So now the Ran learns that specifically the mes boi bayoim would have to refer to when the middle case where he heard and was quiet, because the problem is once Shkia comes on that day by not doing anything, his not doing amounts to allowing the neder to stand. That's how the psukim say it. If by Shkia he doesn't veto the neder, then it's upheld. So now if he's quiet, And Shkia comes and he still hasn't said anything, now the neder is in effect. So now if he were to die the next day, doesn't matter, he was already Makayim it. Now the father cannot be made for that neder anymore. On the other hand, the Ran says, if he heard and was Mefer, then even if he died the next day, then the father can still be Mefer. Even though at that point, once he's dead, the father has to be made for the entire neder. But still, since he already was made for, you can't say that therefore, the Ran uses the expression, he showed, obviously, he doesn't like that neder. There's nothing more he could have done. Therefore, his reshus reverts to the father, and the father is able to veto that neder. Now, that's according to the Ran. Again, according to the Rosh disagrees and says that actually, no, if the chassan died the next day, it wouldn't work, even though he was mefer, because he holds that the chassan and the father always have to be mefer on the same day. Anyway, so you have three subcases over here. Zuhi Shishaninu, in all these cases, we say mesabal misrekin reshus la'av, that if the husband dies, then reshus is emptied out and reverts to the father. So again, in other words, in all these cases, there was no hakama. So either he didn't hear about it at all, the chassan, or he heard about it and didn't do anything, or he heard about it and was mefer. In all those three cases, because he wasn't mekayim it, therefore now when he dies, then the complete reshus over this neder reverts to the father. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, avolim shama v'kiyem, but if he heard the neder and was mekayim it, if he actually said, good for you, I approve of this neder, or if he heard about it and was quiet and then died the next day. So previously we were talking about where he died on the same day, and the question is, does it work if the father is made for the next day? There you have the machlokas rishonim about that. But here you're talking about where he himself, the chosim, was still alive on the next day, having been quiet about this neder on the previous day. Well, again, not being quiet and waiting until Shkia amounts to being Mekayim the Neder, because it doesn't have to be that he says explicitly, I'm Mekayim, even if he just quiet until Shkia, then the Neder comes into effect. So now, Ein Yochel L'Hafer, so now the father does not have the ability to be made for this neder. Now we don't say nisroik and rishos la'av because now the husband exercised his part of the rights by either being explicitly mekayim or by implicitly being mekayim by waiting until shkia and not vetoing the neder. So all of that is one basic case in the braisa with several subcases, namely where the husband died before the father was made. Now continues the braisa, a second case. Shama avia behefa law. What happens on the other hand if the father? So all this time again we talked about that the chosen. We talked about the chosin died, and we have various possibilities. What did the chosin do? We had four or five possibilities. Within that, what had the chosin done before he died? Did he not hear about the neder at all? Did he hear about it and was made for it? Did he hear about it and not say anything and he died before shkia? Or versus where he heard about it and didn't say anything and died only after shkia? So then we have so far two different dinim, whether nisroikin or rishos la'av in the first three cases, or lo nisroikin or rishos la'av in the fourth case. And again, according to the Ran, it wouldn't matter whether the father heard about it that day or whether he hears about it only afterwards. According to the Rosh, it would make a difference. Now, the second part of the Braisa continues. Shama avia v'heifala. What happens on the other hand, the father was the first one to hear the neder, and he was the one who was made for, and we said that's not enough. You need the chosin to agree to that hafara as well. V'loy hispik baal l'shmoya ad shemesa'av. Before the husband had a chance to hear of the neder, then the father died. Zuhi shishaninu. That would be the scenario that we say, mesa'av, in the following Mishnah, mesa'av loy nisroikin rishus labal. That it doesn't work the other way. If the father dies, the reshus is not emptied out towards the chosin. In other words, even though we've been saying all this time that you need the chosin and the father jointly to be made for the nedarim, the father does still have a slightly stronger position in the sense that he is able to inherit a right for this neder from his son-in-law, but the opposite is not true. The son-in-law is not able to inherit it from her father. So if the father dies, even though he was made for already, you need the father to be alive when the husband is made for as well. He does not have the ability to be made for by himself, even though the father already had been made for. So in that case, loy nisroikin reshus labal, in that case, the reshus is not emptied out to the husband, meaning the husband does not have the ability to be made for that neder. And the Ran points out, by the way, that now we have now we're saying over here in this scenario, we're saying loy hispik baal l'shmoya, that the husband did not have a chance to hear it. So he says there were earlier chachamim than him. Further on, he mentions that this is the Rashba says that that's lav davka. The truth is, it would apply even if the husband had heard about it. However, the Ran explains. The Ran explains what it means is the reason why we're specifically mentioning that the husband didn't hear about it is it's meant to tell us a chiddush. It's one thing when the husband had heard about it, then we could argue the clock starts ticking. He needs to be made for that neder that day. But if he hadn't heard about the neder at all, you could argue that maybe he doesn't even have any schus over that nedarim. So maybe the fact then that her father died after being made for does not weaken his abilities with it, because after all, this neder wasn't even nidoloy, it wasn't even ready for him to be made for yet, because he hadn't even heard about it. And you would think, the Ran goes on to say, look, you have two ways in which this neder has become very weak. Number one, the father has been made for his portion, and now all we're waiting is on the chosin to do the same, and the chosin himself has not even heard of the neder yet. So that means that he doesn't, so it's not even in his jurisdiction yet. So you would think, maybe, says the Ran, this neder therefore is very, very weak, and therefore the tiny little bit of it that's left would be enough the chosin could be able to deal with on his own. We're saying no, nevertheless, the chosin does not have the ability to be made for even that little part that's left. So in other words, he says in the earlier part, in the earlier scenario where we talk about where the chosin died, then we're talking about even though the neder was not weakened at all, we said even though the chosin heard about the neder, which meant the clock already started ticking, and the father had not yet been mefer at all, and the chosin hadn't either. So the neder is still in its full strength. Nevertheless, we said when the chosin dies, then the father is able to take over the neder completely and veto it. Now we're saying the reverse is not true. With the chosin, with the orus, he has to have the even though the neder by now is very, very weak, the father was mefer, and the chosin hasn't even heard of it yet. Nevertheless, even such a very, very weak neder, he has no ability over. So that's the chiddush of this part of the braisa. Continues the braisa, a third case. So shama baila behefala, what happens in another scenario? Her husband, her orus, heard about the neder and was mefer. The father did not even have a chance to hear the neder until the husband dies. That would be another example of where the reshus gets emptied out and reverts to the father. Meaning, in other words, so the Ran explains, the chiddush over here is we're talking about that the father had not heard yet. In the first case where we talked about one of the sub scenarios we said over there where the chosin was made for the neder was talking about the father had already heard about it. The father just hadn't yet made up his mind what to do about it. The husband had gone ahead and been made for, and now the father hadn't had a chance to, and then the orus died. Now we're talking about even though the father had not heard yet. So you would think that therefore he doesn't really have power over that neder yet. So we're saying that nevertheless we're saying the reshus is emptied out and reverts completely to the father. And the Ran discusses in some detail that the Ran discusses in some detail what is really the chiddush of this part of this part of the braisa. So he says that let's learn part of this Ran, or if not the whole thing inside. The Ran begins Shama Baila Behefala. That's the third line of the Ran. So Shama Baila Behefala, we said that the husband heard and was mefer for her. The father did not have the opportunity to hear the neder until the husband died. Zuri Shashaninu Mesabal Misrekin Rishus La'av. We said then if the husband died, then the Rishus is emptied out and goes back to the father. So Hochanami, he also Bahach Bavash Me'in Rabusa. So here in this section of the Braisa, it's telling us a chidush Behefer Abal Vlahispika Abla Shmaya. The husband was mefer. Father did not have a chance to hear. Even so, even though the father had not heard of it yet, that still, if the husband dies, the reshus is emptied out and reverts to the father. The chiddush is over here where the father had not heard about it. Because if not, then it's the same thing as the first case. Because in the first part of the braisa, we already talked about where the husband was mefer and the father had not yet been mefer. The chitema, so then you're going to say, the Ran says, adraba, jehoash min and reishir abusa, bizman sheshama abal v'shosek. You would say that adraba, what's the chiddush of this part? We already were told earlier the chiddush that when the husband heard and was quiet, afagav dola iklish le nidra klal, even though the neder has not been weakened at all, nisroikna reshus la'av, still we say that reshus is reverts completely to the father. So now you would think for kavachoy mahashta. So you would think now to make a kavachoyma, hecha the nodra, where now she made the neder, akati kedikoi koi, and it still stands as it was before, of matzi mefer. So in that case over there, where she made the neder, and the father is still able to veto the neder, so hecha the iklishle, kihocha. So now where it was weakened over here, the kihocha, like over here, the baal hefer, v'lenidu la'avadayin, where the husband was mefer, the father had not yet even heard of this neder, so it hadn't even come into his jurisdiction. Da'adifa le'hafaras baal, Where it was saying that the hafara of the husband is stronger, because in a way, like, he has more control over this neder, having already heard it, than the father who hasn't even heard about it. Miboya de motzi av mefer. Do we need to say that this father is still able to be mefer? Da'amet b'bava de shama aviyah. We said in the previous section of the Braisa, where her father heard about it and was mefer, we said that Abusashmin, and the chiddush over there was the afagab lahefer avla hiskabal lishmaya, even though the father was mefer and the husband had not yet heard, the iklish le nidra turva, the neder has been very weak, because we said, first of all, the father canceled his part. Second of all, the chosin didn't even hear about it to even enter his jurisdiction. We still said loy motzi baal mefer, we still said the husband cannot be mefer. The Hosim have your abusa. So if that's a chidush, hahu gavna, that case to like motzi baal mefer, and we're saying the chidush is that even then the husband can't be mefer. Heichi levi hocher abusa, hahu gavna gufi de of motzi mefer. How can we say that over here there's a chidush in our part of the brisa in the third part that we're talking about now, where the husband heard it was mefer, and the husband and then the father hadn't heard yet? How is there a chidush in it that the of is able to be mefer? Ivra, however, he says, the truth is, vadei d'hochiyu, the fact is, that is how the din is, and there is a chiddush in it. V'loy tikshilach de'ikla meima hochi, v'ikla meima hochi. So you can't ask that you could say it one way or the other. Ikla meima, because on the other hand, you could argue, you could say, de'kiven da'afara de'kama malyahu, since the hafara of the first one, in this case, we're talking about where the husband already was mefer, and that was a strong hafara. Because after all, in this case, it was stronger than the usual afara, because unlike previously where the father heard about it, here the father had not yet heard about it. So therefore, the chosin has like more control over that neder. The iklish le nidra tova of the whole nidra l'sheni, because they weren't even heard, they weren't even seen, meaning heard and made into the jurisdiction of the second one. Iklish le nidra tova. So you could argue the neder is very weak. For le mishtaya be ela purta, only a little bit is left. Ulahu purta. So now that little bit, sakrat chaminet tiskele ba afora deidach. You would think that maybe it should be enough that the other one does hafara. That is why we had earlier in the Braisa. So we're saying the chiddush is that when it comes to the husband being made for even that little bit of it that's left, that he can't do anything with. But the ikalamemonami, on the other hand, you could argue the kibin da fora de kamamalyahi, since the first one's hafara was so strong, kibin shahefer v'lenir l'sheni, because he was mefer, the part that he heard, and the second one hadn't heard about it at all. The ikalash le nidra tuba, the neder has become now very weak. V'lenishtayabe elapurta, we would say only a little bit is left. The name of Fakert, we might say, Dahu Purta, Kibin de Kolish Leituba, Ene Kedai Lahudishal Al. Maybe you would argue that little bit is so weak that there's no ability to take that weak remainder of the nether and bequeath it to the father and be murish it to the father. Come on, but Baba Basraisa. The half price, as in fact, Beis Hillel is going to say at the end of this price that there's going to be a case, the En Yochel Lahafer, Mishum de Kibin de Kolosh Le Nidra Tuva, since in a scenario that we're going to talk about at the end of the price, which we haven't gotten to yet, that we're going to have a case over there where the remainder of the Neder is so weak that Beis Hillel says that Loi Motzi Av Le Miski Bei, it's too weak for the father to be able to get. To get control of it. Bahochanami, name a hochi. So we would have said the same thing in our part of the Braisa. Kamash Mulandafi Bahochan is Rekin Rushuslaab. We say that no, nevertheless, the Rushus is emptied out and reverts to the father. This is not one of those cases where we say that it's so weak that the father doesn't have the ability to grab a hold of it. And he goes on to explain why the difference is, because it's true. He says, so the rest we'll learn outside. He says that it's true that when the husband was mefer, it was a very strong hafara and it weakened the neder because the father hadn't even heard yet. But when the husband dies, then that hafara of his is completely bottle. And now, in other words, it's as if he was never mefer at all. Therefore, the neder is still in its full strength, and therefore the father can inherit it back from him. As opposed to the last case, the Braisa, which we're going to talk about soon, where there we say that the father is still alive, and therefore his afara is not bottled. So that's the chiddush of this part of the Braisa. We shouldn't think that in this case, since the husband had heard the neder and the father had not even heard about it yet. So therefore, the husband's hafara is a very strong one, much stronger than a usual one. We would think that maybe we should say, in that case, whatever is left in the neder is not strong enough for the father to inherit. The chiddush of this part of the b'raisa is we're saying that not like that. Nevertheless, the sroik and rishus lav, we still do say that rishus on this neder reverts to the father. The fourth part of the b'raisa, Shama Baila Behaferla, what happens if the husband heard about the neder and was mefer? The father did not have the chance to hear until he died. So now, earlier, again, in the second part of the Braisa, we had the case where the husband was mefer after the father had heard about it. So the father just hadn't done anything, and then he died. Now we're talking about, again, where the father had not heard about it yet. Where again, we would say that the hafara of the husband is a much stronger one, and the father had not heard until he died. Eina bal yochol lahafer. Even in that case, the husband cannot be mefer. Sheina bal mefer ela b'shutfus, because the husband can only ever be mefer when it's in partnership with the father. So here also, the Ran goes on to talk about that the chiddush of this part of the braisa. It's one thing when the father. It's one thing you could say that when only a little bit of the neder is left, so we would still say that when the father dies, the neder returns to its full strength because his afara goes away. Here you're talking about he wasn't even mefer yet; he hadn't even heard about the neder yet. So you could argue that the chosin has done a very strong hafara. The father hasn't done anything with this neder because it wasn't even roy for him yet. So at that point, the husband has taken care of the majority of the neder. He was made for his part, and the part that belongs to the father never came into the father's possession. So you would think that maybe the father has the ability to, that the husband maybe has the ability to be made for, and we're saying still not. Now comes the fifth case of the Braisa on Samach Tesamar Aleph, which is where we're finally going to answer this question that we started the sugya with about Megas, Gaias, or Miklash Kolish. So the fifth case is Shama via Vehefala, if her father heard and was mefer, the husband did not have a chance to hear about the neder until he died. Now we would say that the father is able to cancel the part that would have belonged to the husband. So in other words, the Ran points out, by the way, the word choizer doesn't mean that he has to be mefer again, because he was already made for his part. What it means is, in other words, that he has to now again be made for the part that belonged to the husband. In other words, like this. Earlier, while the chosin was alive, the father had said, as far as I'm concerned, this neder is bottled. But we're still waiting on your husband to agree with that. Now, when her husband died, then we say that the father is now saying, not chozer, not I don't have to do my part again. I already did my part. But now I have to do the part on behalf of your husband. The part that your husband should have done to be made for that neder, now I'm going to do it. So now, Omer Rav Nosson, hein, dibe b'shamai. So now Rav Nosson says, you should know that statement that we just said in this fifth case of the Braisa is only according to b'shamai. Whereas Bes Hillel says that he cannot be mefer. And the reason is, Shmamina, so we can show from that, Bes Shammai Megas Gaias. The reason for that distinction is because Bes Shammai holds that when the chosin is mefer his portion, he's cutting away half the nether. The other half of the nether still has its full strength. So in the scenario that we had before, if there were two kazesim and the husband was made for his part, then still, if she ate both kazesim, she is going to be chayev malchus because the fact is she ate a kazayis of isur. And therefore, the result of that is, so there's a chumra in that according to Bes Shammai, namely she's getting malchus, but there's a kula in it, namely that Bes Shammai says, because of that, it means the father's half of the neder is still untouched. Therefore, the case over here was rather that the father was made for first. So the father was made for first. Then the husband died before he had a chance to be made for. So now, Bes Shammai says, the father, having been made for, cut away half the neder. Half the neder is gone as a result of his afara. The other half still exists in full strength. And now when the husband dies, when the chosin dies, then the father is able to take over that half, which is still intact, and therefore he's able to be made for that half. So therefore, according to Beis Shammai, the result that we have to explain that on the basis of Megas Gaias, that they say each one, when he's made for the nether, is cutting away half the nether. Whereas Beis Hillel says, the Beis Hillel Miklash Kolish, whereas according to Beis Hillel, what happens is when one of them is made for his part of the nether, then he's weakening the entire nether. So now what happens is that since the father had done afara, he weakened the nether. Now what happens is when the husband, so now the husband still has a weak nether that he has to be made for the part of. But now the husband dies, so now that remaining part of the nether is too weak for the husband to be able to bequeath it to the father. In fact, so, and the Ran says, if the father had died, like we had in earlier scenarios in the Braisa, would be one thing, because then you would say that he did a hafara, and therefore his hafara still exists at full strength. But that would be where the father died. We can talk about that. Here we're talking about the father is still alive. So nothing's been weakened as far as his hafara. So the nether still remains in the same weakness as it was before. And therefore the father does not have the ability to inherit such a weak nether, says Beis Hillel, and therefore to be able to veto it. So the result is that this nether remains in effect. And if you want to be matur, you need a Toras Nedarim. Or the Ran says, we're going to learn later on in the Perek, another point which we touched on before, which is that if on that same day she's Nis'aris to another man, then that other man, together, her new chosin, together with her father, can be made for the Nedarim. Because we said before that an Oros can be made for the Koyt. But if that doesn't happen, if she doesn't get Nis'aris that day, even though her father had already vetoed the Neder, and even though her husband had died after that Hafara, that's not good enough. It doesn't amount to that full hafara was accomplished. According to Beis Shammai, the father can be made for the half that used to belong to the father. According to Beis Hillel, there's no half to talk about. The entire nether has been weakened, and there's nothing it's not strong enough for the chosin to bequeath to the father. Therefore, the nether remains in effect. So we see that the answer to our question, the question that we started with on Samachesimat Aleph about the two Zaysim, the answer whether she's going to get Malkus, so according to one possibility that the Ran mentioned, that she's going to have to bring a korban, is going to depend on this Machalukas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, yes, she will be Chayav Malkus or a korban. According to Beis Hillel, she will not. So the Gemara says, Shemamina, well, good, that proves it. That's how it is. Okay, So to summarize the various cases of this braisa, the bottom line is we have to realize the chosin never has the ability to be made for a neder all by himself. It always has to be together with the father. So therefore, in the cases we said where the father died, the chosin does not have the ability to accomplish afaras nedarim on his own. On the other hand, when the chosin dies, we say there are times when the father is able to inherit rights over the neder from his son-in-law, namely, among others, if the husband had not heard about it, or if he hadn't said anything about it, or if he was made for it. On the other hand, if he was mekayim it, or if he waited until after shkia and didn't say anything and then died after that, then the husband does not have rights over it. You never have that the chosin can inherit rights from the father. It's always if the chosin is going to be made for, it always has to be together with the father. And then again, we have the last scenario over here where the father was made for, and then the chosin died. Where then you have the question whether the father's hafara cuts away half the nether or whether it weakens the entire nether, and that's Beis Shammai Beis Hillel will argue about that one. Okay.